Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 15th chapter. John 15 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1137. We'll be reading a verse from this chapter. We'll turn to two other chapters following that and read verses from there also. But first of all, John chapter 15, verse 11. May we stand together, all of us standing, please, for the reading of God's Word. And let's read the verse together, please. Ready? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Turn now to the 16th chapter of John. Just turn the page if you're in a Scofield Bible. And we'll read verses 23 and 24 of the 16th chapter. Verses 22 through 24. And let's read them together as well. Ready? And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And now in chapter 17, verse 13. John chapter 17, verse 13. Let's read it, please, together. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you for helping us in so many ways. We're especially grateful for the ability to be here, to freely have access to this place and to gather here with our friends to hear thy word in song and in preaching. May our hearts be refreshed and blessed for whatever thou dost have for us. We pray that it would be fulfilled exactly as would please thee. And so anoint our preacher and anoint our ears toward the hearing of this thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sure, I've enjoyed a song like that. I've been blessed. My spirit's been blessed anymore in a long time. I don't understand a few things about Christianity. I don't understand why somebody's got to be painted like a Christmas tree and wiggle like a worm to sing. I just thinking while this good man was here singing, I just thinking, why can't churches be satisfied with some sincere Christian people just getting up and singing? I understand it. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy shall no man take from you. Your joy shall no man take from you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Father, bless our discussion tonight. May we rightly divide the word of truth as we discuss this important truth. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm talking tonight on the subject, fullness of joy. I did not say I'm talking tonight about happiness. Happiness and joy are not even close to each other. There's a vast difference. Happiness is caused by outward circumstances. Joy is caused by an inner condition. Happiness can be destroyed by reversals. Joy is nurtured and proved by reversals. The word happiness comes from the word happen. Happiness. Something good happens to me, then I feel good. That's happiness. joy comes from the word grace. So joy is by the grace of God, and God's gifts by His grace have no repentance. Happiness is alone from conditions. Joy is a gift from God. Happiness is drowned by sorrow. Joy is nourished by sorrow. Adversity destroys happiness. Adversity illumines joy. I'm happy when I eat a cheese quarter pounder. I'm happier when I eat two cheese quarter pounders. I'm happiest when I eat two cheese quarter pounders and some chicken nuggets with mustard sauce. Not that sissy French dressing. I don't like that foreign stuff. I'm happy when I got money in my pocket. At least I was. I'm happy, and that's true happiness. Somebody said, if you want true happiness, come to Jesus. No, true happiness is when the senses are made to enjoy what they feel, see or hear or touch. And that's happiness. But happiness is not joy. And joy is not happiness. Adversity enhances joy. Problems, heartaches, burdens, and sorrows increase joy. The truth is, the negatives that I mentioned a while ago, sorrow, heartache, burden, adversity, are all a part of the recipe for real joy. Don't tear the furniture up. I work day and night to keep this place clean. Nobody appreciates it. Let me have that thing that fell off that end back there. I may need it when I get out in the alley tonight after the service is over. Are you folks cool over here? McKinney and Tom McKinney gave me for my birthday, I think a birthday, Christmas, something, what they call a senility stick. It's a walking stick, and it has a rear view mirror on it, and it has a you got me off the whole subject. It has a rear view mirror and also has a horn, little thing, so I can walk down the street and without, when you get my age, you can't turn around and look very easily, you know. I can just look in the rear view mirror there and honk. And the other day, shortly after I had been insidiously attacked out in the alley, no security guard was there, and one time went out, so I took my senility stick with me. So if you hear a beep, a horn, come to my rescue. I can use the stick to beat him off with, and I can use the horn to let you know to hurry and get where I am. And I also use a rearview mirror so I won't get attacked from the rear anymore. But I'm preaching tonight on senility and self-defense. Happiness excludes heartache. Joy includes heartache. Happiness is freedom from burden. Joy is peace in burdens. It says that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. I don't think Jesus was happy because He was going to Calvary. Because the happenings were not conducive to delight. Did not He pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me? I don't think Jesus was necessarily happy, but He had joy. the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Let the Bible speak. Happiness, according to the Greek words, happiness is to call something joy. You go to the amusement park and you can be happy. You got enough sense not to ride anything. I went out there with our kids a couple of times. You old folks don't know what's going on in these amusement parks anymore. We were youngsters, those roller coasters went like this. You know how those rascals go now? They go like this. I mean, you upside down are looking down. Happiness is having a good time at the ball game if you're not a Cub fan. Joy is loving baseball so much you can even enjoy a Cub game this year. See, when you say, boy, I've got joy in my soul, it was a good party. You call something joy. That's what happiness means. Happiness is our interpretation and definition of joy. We interpret something. But see, we don't know what's joyous and what's not. So, happiness may or may not be joy. It appears to us to be joy. Got a little card from my girls the other day. Cindy, Linda, Becky, all three of them. And what did it say? Oh, when the big little thing for the wall said when the going gets tough, go shopping. Happiness is a new dress, unless you're a man. If you're a man, misery is a new dress. But you see, we count happiness as joy, and joy as happiness. When we say we have joy, I've got the joy down in my heart. But you let the temperature get to 100 degrees. See, what you meant was, you said you had joy. You didn't. You had happiness. Because happiness is determined by the circumstances or what happens to you. But joy has nothing to do with what happens to you. I mean, having a job or not having a job has nothing to do with joy. I mean, feeling good or feeling bad has nothing to do with joy. Joy, being employed, not being employed, living in a nice place, not a nice place, driving a Rolls Royce or riding a bicycle, none of those has a thing to do with happiness or joy. I mean, happiness is caused by the circumstances and the happenings of life. But the happenings of life have nothing to do with joy. We can plan happiness. You can't plan joy. That's why some of you on top of the mountain one time, down the valley the next time. Because sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you, not mine, Buster. There's nothing you can do tonight for me to take my joy away. And nothing in the world. Now, you may take my happiness, but you can't get my joy. No way in the world. In fact, I don't think you can get my happiness either. There's just no way you can do it. I've said often around the country, you get everybody in the crowd, get a sticky tongue out at me. Won't change my joy any. My joy is not dependent on where your tongue is. Though there are a few of them I'd like to. But anyway, I'm saying that we can plan happiness. By the way, you can have happiness and not have joy. And you can have joy and not have happiness. They're a long ways from being interchangeable or synonymous. Joy comes from inner peace, an inner condition, a relationship with God. It cannot be moved.
It cannot be changed by man. Not one single thing can be done to change it. Happiness, up, down, up, down, up, down. Oh, it's so humid.
Oh, boy, this is pretty. Boy, to me, they're all pretty days. I mean that. I don't understand this thing about it's bad weather. Not to me, buddy. Good night. Every day is good for me. If it rains, let it rain, buddy. Let it rain. If it gets, I don't care if it gets 100 degrees. I can sit in our air-conditioned house and take it. I know you new folks are finding out what a great Christian I really am.
Now, happiness can be destroyed by others, but joy can't be destroyed by others. You can't get them a joy. My joy has got a guard that walks guard around it and a wall around it. You can't get to that. You can't touch my joy. You can touch my happiness. And you can make me not happy, but you can't touch my joy. There's no way. Now, the Bible speaks about fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Now, there are degrees of joy. The Bible tells us how we can have fullness of joy. Let me say a few words more about this. Happiness is often a vaccination that prevents joy. Because you think you have joy when you have happiness. And since you think you have joy and call happiness joy, you don't search for joy because you have happiness and you think that's what joy really is. Joy can weep. Happiness can't. Joy can mourn. Happiness can't. I was thinking, Erlene, that about a year ago tonight, our mama was awful sick. I was thinking about it this afternoon. In a couple of weeks, or less than 2 weeks, she'll have been gone for a year. It's hard to believe. Now, when our little mama was suffering, we weren't happy, but we had joy. We walked her little room and see her little body wilted away to nothing, nothing but bones wrapped with wrinkled flesh. I can't say we're happy about that. But I tell you what, there's more joy in my mama's room than is most of your houses. There's more joy while my mama was dying. I often say this, our people here, our dedicated people, they have more fun dying than most of you folks have living. I've seen more joy at funerals than I see on some of your faces tonight. It's sort of pitiful. I love to tell you folks that are new, you've never heard this. I love to tell about Mrs. Fredley. How many folks here, Mrs. Fredley was here? Yeah, you were. Ah, oh, what a cackle she had. Ha! She didn't say amen. She didn't go ha ha ha. And she got cancer. She was over here in Gary in some little hospital, and they called me. We hours of the morning back when the church was smaller, and I did what Brother Colston does now. And I went over at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she was dying, and she was coughing up blood. And the nurse said she won't live an hour. I said, Miss Fredley, I said, you know that you're on your way to heaven. And she said, yes, Pastor, I know that. And all of a sudden she coughed, and she coughed up. The nurse held out her hand like that. She coughed up enough blood to overflow the nurse's hands. It was in clots. And I said, Mrs. Fredley, is that blood? And she said, Preacher, it ain't tobacco juice. I mean, you can't take the joy. Can't take it away. No way. I love to tell about the man whose name is right here, Leonard Tudor. In memory of Leonard Tudor, this pulpit was bought many years ago, and this plaque in memory of Leonard Tudor, one of our fine deacons, was in the hospital, St. Margaret's Hospital up here. And the nurse came by, and used to have nuns that wore these big old hats. One of our little boys called them the nurses with the cowboy hats. So one of the nuns came by, nurses came by, and said, Mr. Tudor said, you know you're very low. You think we ought to call the priest? And that good man said, Nurse, I am a priest. Oh, she said, I didn't know you were a holy father. He said, I'm not a holy father. I'm a priest of God. I'm born again on my way to heaven. I'm a priest of God. Now, if you want to call my pastor and let him rejoice with me while I go to heaven, you go right ahead. You can't get the joy. Can't take the joy away. If your smiling is all dependent on happiness, that's why you frown so much. But if your smile is dependent on joy, they can't take that away. My little mama smiled while she was on her deathbed. Brother Tudor, his wife came in. And he told her when he was dying, he said, "You better behave yourself. I'm going to keep my eye on you every moment." And he said, "You better be in church every Sunday morning." And he said, "You better listen to the house on the radio broadcast every morning." Or he said, "I'll be up there watching you." And he is. And he's chuckling right now. I'm saying you can't take away his joy. You can make me cry, take away my happiness, but you can't touch my joy. That's why it's too bad. A lot of you folks have happiness and you don't have any joy. I mean, you just want to be happy. I want to have fun. Next party. Next rah-rah. Next hold-down. I mean, next get-together. Next hamburger. Next fun time. And you have happiness. And I don't mind. That's okay. Nothing wrong with it. You don't do anything that's sinful. But it's silly. I mean, you can't substitute a little happiness that's determined by a hamburger or a little time, music time, or a little so-called fellowship time for the joy of God to fill your soul. Jesus said, "I write these things that your joy might be full. That your joy might be full." Happiness is often a vaccination to prevent joy. You think you have it. It is exceedingly difficult to have both, and there's more joy in this. I want to say this now. Be careful. There's more joy in this room tonight in the hearts of the have-nots than the hearts of the haves. There's more joy in this room tonight in the lives of the sick people, sick Christians, than the well Christians. You know why? Because you folks that have a lot, may I say, we who have a lot, we have a choice. We can choose joy or happiness. Fellows dying with cancer can't choose. Joy is the only thing available to him, but thank God it's available. Yeah. A couple without a job, having a tough time making ends meet, tough time putting food on the table. I mean, they have no choice in the matter. They can't have it. You can't be happy watching your little child not have much to eat or the clothes he needs to wear. But bless God, you can have joy with the cupboards empty and the refrigerator empty. You can have joy. Why? Because joy is not determined by how much you have or how little you have or how much you go or how little you go or how much you play, how little you play. Joy is determined by your relationship with God. And there are a heap of folks tonight who need to spend more time thinking about joy than happiness. That's the problem with this. Jesus said, "I want your joy to be full." How can you have fullness of joy? Three things he tells us here. Because of time, I'll ask you to turn to them, but I will. Let me read for you one passage. "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I won't go into it as far as reading the Scripture, but this verse is found in John 15, verse 11, and above verse 11. In verse 4, for example, you find the words "abide in me," and in verse 5, you find the words "abide in Christ." And in verse 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. It shall be given unto you." And again in verse 10, the same thing. And all these verses from chapter 15 of John, from verse 1 through verse 10, have to do with abiding in Christ. Now what does it mean to abide? It means live there. Now you don't spend every minute of every day where you live, but you spend more time where you live than anywhere else. I mean, it doesn't mean that every second of every day you read your Bible. It just means you read your Bible more than you watch the television set, and you read your Bible more than you listen to music, read your Bible more than you read the newspaper, and you read your Bible more than you do all three. That means to live in the Word of God, to live in it. Now, if you want joy full, you've got to live in Christ. Again, I said, it doesn't mean you're there all the time. It just means you're there more than anywhere else. You live there. You live in prayer. You live on your knees. You live in the book. You live with Christ. Now you can have joy without abiding in Christ, but your joy can't be full without abiding in Christ. And you can have joy without spending more time in this book than the newspaper, but your joy can't be full till you live in this book. And you can have joy without living on your knees, but your joy can't be
full till you live on your knees. And in case anybody here wants to have fullness of joy, you've got to abide in Christ and abide in the book.
Let me give you a word that you ought not to forget. One of the most important words in my opinion in the English vocabulary is the word awareness. The word awareness. But we've made this thing abiding in Christ so spooky. You know, you got to have a faraway look on your face like you just, you know, your coat can't fit and your glasses don't work and your tie's like that and your shirt's turned up like that and you got a dirty shirt and you say, "I'm thank God I'm regenerated and born again with the grace of God." That's not it. That's not it. You haven't, and said, "Take me to your leader. Just got here. For college." No. No, that's not it. The word awareness. If I could give you one thing I have, one thing, I'd give you this bald head and have your hair. But it's one of those nights, folks, and nothing like I'd planned it. But it all started with the furniture tear up back there a while ago. But if I could give you one thing I have, I'd give you my ability to be aware. To be aware. I'm not going to go through life. I haven't got enough of it left. I'm not going to go through life not being aware of what I have. I'm not going to sit down to a meal tomorrow without stopping to realize how many little Ethiopian women are carrying little babies that are tugging at empty breasts. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to guzzle down a meal and enjoy a good meal without saying, "Thank God! Thank God! God has fed me again." I'm not going to walk in this church ever without stopping to realize what's going on here. I'm not going to do it. I mentioned our mother a while ago. Mentioned her a while ago. I don't know about my sister. I have an idea, especially in the last few days of her mother's life, last few years, when my sister did unbelievable duty to mother and cared for her like few daughters have ever cared for a mother. But I never waited till she was gone. Tell her I loved her. I kissed her goodbye every time I said goodbye to her from the time I was old enough to know how to pucker. I told her I loved her every time I said goodbye to her from the time I was old enough to talk. The last thing I did before I left the O'Hare Field Airport every Monday morning is call Mama and say, "I love you, Mama." I mean, I did that for 18 years every Monday morning. The last words I said to her when she was in a coma before she died, I screamed as loud as I could. The nurse put the telephone up beside her ear and I said, "I love you, Mother. I love you, Mother." I'm not going to live life and not be aware. You know, basically abiding in Christ is being saved and realizing it. How good it is and thinking about it. It's just using your mind. That's all. Bill Harvey used to travel a great deal. Dr. Rice and me in meetings with Bill would sing and I'd sing. Dr. Rice would preach. And, Bill was the singer. Dr. Rice, sort of like the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Bill was the singer. Dr. Rice the preacher. And I was a marvelous combination of both. We'd be sitting there at the table together one night we were in Winston-Salem, and at a cafeteria. They said over 400 folks were there, and Dr. Rice said, "Bill, stand up and sing." Bill said, "What?" He said, "Stand up and sing." Bill said, "Dr. Rice, the people eating all over this place, it'd be embarrassing, stand up and sing." He said, "Are you ashamed of Jesus?" Well, Bill didn't stand up and sing, but he blushed. He did something only angels would be afraid to do. After a while, he said, "Dr. Ryan, stand up and preach." Ooh, I'd be afraid that the angel would come out of heaven and slap me with his wing. And Dr. Ryan said, "Bill, preaching all this crowd?" Bill said, "Are you ashamed of Jesus?" But anyway. But I said, "Dr. Ryan, if you're ashamed of Jesus and ashamed of preaching, let me stand up here. Pray." But that we're sitting there and Bill looked at Dr. Rice and he said, look at forgive me, Bill called me Jack. I've known him since we were little. And Bill said, look at Jack. And Dr. Rice said, what do you mean? And Bill said, he's always thinking. He said, look at him. He's always thinking. And I am. I am. I'm always thinking what I'm doing and what a pleasure it is to do it. I'm not going to one of these days have a stroke and sit in a wheelchair at the altar here while somebody else stands here and preaches and wish I'd enjoyed it while I did it. I'm having a time. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going
to
do it.
I'm simply saying that to be aware. And if you want to have your joy full, abide in Christ.
Don't just visit. Abide there. Make the book, this book, more than any other reading you do. Make it this book. Now, I love read. I read pages, newspapers. I'll read it all. I'll guarantee you if every 1 hour I spend reading all other things I read together, I'll spend 2 hours or 3 hours or more reading this book. Why? Because and that's one reason I have joy. You can't touch it. It's not touchable. I have the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. I have the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart till it rains. I have the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I have a joy down in my heart. Down in my heart till somebody gets mad. I have a joy. You're tired of that, aren't you? Make you appreciate. I'm preaching more when you hear me singing a little while. And have a joy. What?
Down in my heart. To what? To stay. Devil can't touch it. Enemies can't touch it. Bad health can't touch it. Unemployment can't touch it. Famine can't touch it. Distress can't touch it. Tears can't touch it. A broken heart can't touch it. Enemies can't touch it. Why? Because it's joy and not happiness. That's why.
A lot of you, all you got's happiness. That's why you're up and down like a roller coaster. Some days you're on top and smiling. Some days you're on the bottom. You know, it's happiness. Why don't you take that happiness and fit it in on a good old 1985 joy? Yeah. Fullness of joy comes first by abiding in Christ. And second, fullness of joy comes by answered prayer. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And by the way, the word rejoice in the Bible, usually comes from the same root word. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall ask in the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, he's not talking. And let me say this about prayer. You'd be surprised if you knew how many people think prayer is an Aladdin's lamp where you can get anything you want. Dear God, I want a new dress. I want it purple with shoes to match. In the first place, people that ask for that have not met one condition for answered prayer. My Bible said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. God can trust you to ask what you want to if you abide in him. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What does it mean? It means when you delight yourself in God, he gives you... Hold it now. He didn't say he'll give you the answer. He'll give you the desires. He creates what you want. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he creates what you want and gives you a water that makes you want what you ought to want, and then turns around and answers your prayer when you ask what you want or want. But the honest, simple truth is, you'd be surprised when folks come to me, I don't believe in God anymore. I asked for a Rolls Royce and didn't even get it. God doesn't believe in you anymore either. In the Lord's Prayer, and I don't like to call it the Lord's Prayer, but that's what you know it as. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now the next thing he starts asking, give us this day our daily bread. And then he says, forgive us our sins. And then after that, in Luke 11, he starts talking about how that you pray for bread. Lord, I have a friend and his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Only three requests mention the Lord's Prayer. Two are bread and one is forgiveness, and that's all. First is bread for me. Second is forgiveness. And third is bread for you. Bread for somebody else. Now, wait a minute. Forgiveness comes after you ask for bread. God doesn't feed you because you... God doesn't feed you because you're a good Christian. God feeds you because you're a Christian.
God doesn't feed you because of your condition. God feeds you because of your position. Remember the story of Jonah in the whale? How many of you actually believe the whale, that Jonah swallowed a whale? Raise your hand, would you please?
No, he didn't either. The whale swallowed Jonah, fella.
But remember the story of Jonah and the whale? Remember, now listen, was Jonah in God's will? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. He had left the will of God, refused to go preach in Nineveh, gone down to Joppa, take a vacation, got kicked off the boat because they found out he was the guy causing the trouble. And but did God care for him? Yes, it did. God didn't send a shark to kill him. Why?
He was God's child. He sent up. He didn't give him a Waldorf Astoria. He gave him a whale sweep.
Remember Elijah when he was away from God? And Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. Elijah ran because Jezebel's going to kill him. Got down there under the juniper tree and said, dear God, let me die. I don't think he meant it. He wanted to die. He had to just sit still. Jezebel's coming to accommodate him right then. And he was outside the will of God. He had lost his faith. He had lost his courage. He had lost the will of God for his life. And he was complaining and griping. And yet God
sent sandwiches to him by feathered waiters. God feeds you because you're his child. God doesn't feed you because you're a good Christian. He feeds you because you're a Christian.
When the Israelites had gone to Kadesh Barnea, sent 12 spies in to see if they ought to go, and the committee came back and voted as all committees do not to go. And they never should have sent those spies. Moses should have said, come on here, let's go. And they said, we're on our way. And they sent the spies. Spies came back, voted 10-2 not to do it. And God said, okay, all of you who are over 20 are going to be in the wilderness for 40 years and die there.
But God didn't leave them without manna. God sent manna every morning from heaven. They were his children. Now listen, I'll get this. When God's talking about your joy being full because of prayer, God's talking about real, real honest prayer, because after you get your food, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. He gives it to you. Then you ask forgiveness, and once you ask forgiveness, then you ask bread for other people. That takes longer to get that. Why? Because it's easier to buy a loaf of bread than it is to get a job in a bread factory. It's easier for you to get bread for yourself from God than for God to put you to work in the bakery. I wish I had time to say all I want to say, but I won't take it. I used to sit and dream when I was a kid, warming by a wood stove. What little light we had was the light of a kerosene lamp, a little two-room shack with an outhouse in the backyard. I used to sit and dream when I was a kid, someday I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to make $1 million. Someday I am going to make $1 million. Well, that someday has come. And I have made millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. But none of it stuck. None of it stuck. If I decided to, if God let me live, I could be rich. But I'm not. You know why? Because there's nothing in the world that's overrated. There's that sucker right there. And most of you are better off if you do that. Sort of shocked you, didn't it? Sort of shocked you. You just showed what it means to you. Now, the honest truth is, most overrated thing in the world. The fullness of joy, but you'll notice I'm not throwing it away. I have some Scotch tape in my office prepared for sermons like this. It's easy to get carried away, folks. But you see, getting your prayers answered isn't... You joy. Okay, if getting my prayers answered will give me fullness of joy, then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God to give me a new car and make it a Cadillac. And no, Cadillacs are compacts anymore. Make it a Rolls Royce, and I want a $500,000 house, and I want $200,000 a year salary. If I can get what I want, that's not the kind of prayer God's talking about.
God's talking about, dear God, there's some people need some help, and Lord, give it to me so I can help somebody. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be little, a neighborly need. Help somebody today. And brother, there's not a church in this world that has as many people who need help as we have right here in this room tonight. So where are they? Here's one here. They're all over the place. There are 25 girls tonight. 25 girls in this room at least who can't enroll in college because they don't have a dime. And they're here to go to college and they can't enroll in college because they don't have one single dime. If you want your joy full, most of you have never seen this, many of you have. Let me tell you what brings you fullness of joy. Prayed for it, I got it, and I gave it. That's joy. Now I'll show you happiness. But when you get home and find the bills are more than the money, you won't be happy anymore. God will give to people. See, God has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. He has no help but our help to lead men to His side. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We're the only sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked and what if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than His? And what if our feet are leading where sin's allurement is? And what if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid in and hasten His return? God needs some delivery boy. God knows you the liver for Him. He'll let you have it. And your joy will be full. I'll tell you what I'm laughing about after a while. I ought not do this. Back when the war was over. Back in the war. During the war. You couldn't get stuff. You couldn't get gasoline. You couldn't get soap powder. You couldn't get anything. And a lot of folks would hoard it. They'd get it and hoard it. And one day I was over at my mother-in-law's house and I looked under the bed and she had soap powder, everything. Looked on the back porch, everywhere. I said, "Mamma, what in the world are you doing with all this stuff?" I said, "This stuff, you can't get it." She said, I'm trying to keep the hoarders from getting it. That's what you're trying to do, too. And that's why you got happiness. But I'll tell you what. Listen, I talked to a little fellow the other day. I preached a sermon. Used to preach it a great deal, called "You Can Fail, Not Be a Failure." Remember that? That's the one where failing plus failing plus failing plus failing plus failing plus failing equals success, and failing plus failing plus failing plus failing equals failure. It's up to you. Continued failing is the road to success. And you can fail, not be a failure. A man over here in Normal, Illinois, had just lost $3 million. $3 million in 7 days. He lost his happiness. He heard me preach that sermon on failing plus failing plus failing plus failing equals. It can't equal success or failure. It's up to you. He decided he's going to make a success out of this failure. Just lost in 7 days $3 million. I'll never do that. You won't either. Because you got to get it before you can lose it. But he decided to get him a speech up on how to lose $3 million in 7 days. He did. And you know what he did? He got wealthy again on that speech. He heard me preach it again and told me. In fact, I was in Fort Worth preaching just a few weeks ago. And he walked up and he said, "Remember me?" "Why, sure." I said, "You're from Normal, Illinois. You used to make a living selling stoves." He said, "Yeah. What are you doing now?" He said, "Never done better." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Making the same old speech. How to lose $3 million in 7 days." Now he's got joy. He had happiness, lost $3 million, lost his happiness, but now he has joy. Joy. Fullness of joy. What? Answered prayer. Fullness of joy. What?
abiding in Christ. Third, fullness of joy. And briefly, I'll read it to you. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus says, you won't have fullness of joy. He said, in the first place, you abide in me. He said, in the second place, have answered prayer. And he said, in the third place, you realize that I'm your high priest interceding for you. If you want to have real joy tonight, you stop and realize that while you sit here, sitting on the right hand of God the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's interceding for you and pleading your case. When I do something wrong, which is not often, but when I do something wrong, and I ask forgiveness, between the time I do the wrong and the time I get to my prayer closet or somewhere, I look up and I think I can see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God saying, Father, he means well. Father, he means well. I'll sometimes maybe bawl the deacons out or get a little huffy with the deacons. And the father said, I think I'll kill old Hiles, the way he treats those deacons. And Jesus says, Father, you never have been down there on earth. You don't know how deacons are. I was down there. I know. Don't be too hard on him. If you had to mess with deacons, you wouldn't have it easy either. And he just pleads my case all the time. I'll close with this, and this is familiar to a few of you. I was down in North Carolina preaching. It was on Tuesday morning. Must have had 700 folks. Crowd about as big as these two center sections here, I guess. Building a little bigger than that. But I guess the crowd was about as big as these two center sections on the lower floor. Sitting right here in the middle, didn't have a center aisle. Sitting right here in the middle, there were high school students here. Sitting on the second or third row, there was a young lady who was slumped over, slumped like that. And I said, young lady, I said, would you sit up, please? She had her head resting on the back of the pew. She shook her head like that. I said, would you sit up, young lady? Everybody else is. Now, don't act like you're going to sleep. She shook her head like that. And I very carelessly, as it's easy to do for me, I very carelessly said, young lady, I'm going to tell you one more time. Sit up straight. You know, if you're going to go to sleep, you're not going to get a pillow. And I guess sit up straight. Some of you folks were there in the meeting, I'm sure. And I said, young lady, I said, sit up! About that time, a lady stood up about five or six rows back and came down to get this little girl. Teenager, high school girl. Was I ever shocked to find out that she was a hunchback? She couldn't sit up. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. And everybody there saw her. It was her mother. And her mother took her out. Everybody there saw it. Everybody knew what a heel I was. And I finished the sermon, but I didn't enjoy it. Nobody else did either. When the sermon was over, I said, people, would you sit down, please? And I said, everybody here saw what I did this morning. And I said, I'm not a mean man, but I made a horrible mistake this morning. And the first thing I want to do is ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. And I said, just as soon as I get through the service closes, I'm getting in a car and I'm going to go see that lady and that young lady. And I want to ask forgiveness. As soon as the service ended, I said, Pastor, drive me over there. He did. He stayed out in the drive. I went up to the house and rang the doorbell, scared to death, a little, I guess, three-bedroom brick home. Lady came to the door. I didn't know whether she's going to shoot me or what. And I said, before you say anything to me, let me just say two words. Two words. I'm sorry. And that precious little lady said, come on in for the house. I was mad at you before, but I'm not mad at you anymore. She said, I have a son in Hiles Anderson College, old brother. And she said, I've always wanted him to grow up and be just like you. And she said, I still do. And I said, forgive me. I'm sorry. She said, Brother Hiles, you forget it now. It's all forgiven. And I said, look, let me pay you expenses up to Hammond. I'll fly you and your husband and your daughter up there at my expense. And spend a weekend. I'll get you a motel room, pay for your meals, pay for everything. Let me do it. Oh, Brother Hiles, no, you don't have to. I said, look, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me. I feel terrible. I got to feel better. She said, if you insist. And they came up here, sat back up here in the back up here one Sunday morning. Wait a minute. That night, I tried to sleep, but I couldn't. And I looked up, and as Stephen of old, I saw the glory of God. And I saw Jesus sitting on the right hand of God. And I heard him say, "Father, he means well. He means well." And I realized that I had a high priest interceding for me. When I went to bed, I wasn't happy. But I had joy. Our Heavenly Father. I'm not preaching against happiness tonight. I'm preaching against happiness as a substitute for joy. Hamburger can make you happy, but it takes answered prayer and abiding in Christ and a realization of our high priest to have fullness of joy.